Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the CBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbifn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Hello there, everybody. Tonight's episode was changed the last minute. I got a phone call about an hour ago or an email that my guest wasn't going to be able to make it. And I'm sorry I didn't know that earlier, but okay, I'll do my own show. And I decided, since it's so cold and miserable here, I'll talk about the winter blahs. And I just found out from another source that that's what a lot of these shows recently are about. I wonder why people don't like winter. I mean, some people do. I will admit there are some people out there who seem to love it. They can't stand the heat. They love the cold. But I'm not one of them. And I think winter is just awful. And as I said in my introduction, which I wrote, well, I'll just read it. Winter is that time of year when nothing seems right to you and you don't want to work or play or do much of anything. I know I feel that way. So it's extra important to exercise, eat right, take those vitamins, and sleep well. Like most head injury victims, I can't seem to sleep more than 5 hours a night. And sleeping during the day is just a lost cause. Oh well. As I said in my introduction, I used to sleep well. So I guess I have a stash built up. And I'm just working off that stash right now. But I'm going to talk tonight about the importance of keeping life going strong. With strong and focused ideas and goals. Any time period is relatively short in the long run, and spring is just around the corner. I try to keep focused by eating right, moving right, and thinking right. Sometimes I succeed better than other times, but not losing hope is key. If you're just hoping for a better time, the brain doesn't know the difference between what is true and what is simply hope. So when they say, fake it until you make it, they couldn't be more right. And let's keep hoping. And if we think that things are going to get better, we think that things are better, maybe they'll actually become better. That's what I want to focus on tonight. I'm lucky that even though I hate winter, I'm generally a very optimistic person. And I always think things are going to work out. Things are going to be okay. And they usually are okay. As I read somewhere that things usually end up okay. If they're not okay, it just means they haven't ended yet. Because things work out. So we just have to keep focusing on that. And our brains will start to think, yeah, things are okay. Whether they are or not, our brain thinks that they are. And that is what's important. So I'm going to talk about how we keep our brain focused on the right thing, on doing what's right. Well, as I said in my introduction, we can keep focused by, first of all, eating right. What does that actually mean? It means don't eat that sugar. Don't eat those sweets. Oh, sure, we want to. It's comfort food. But some other good foods are comfort foods too. I love eating nuts. And unless you're allergic to something, nuts are great for you. And potatoes, sweet potatoes. I mean, potatoes, if you're diabetic, they're not such a good thing. Simple carbohydrates are not good. But vegetables in general are good. And I eat sweet potatoes and squash. And I love that kind of stuff. I guess I'm really lucky that I can eat that kind of stuff and enjoy myself. And when I say don't eat sugar, unfortunately, that includes bread and noodles and potatoes. I just said I love potatoes, but sweet potatoes, I consider them more of a vegetable. But you don't want to eat that stuff because, well, as I'm getting older, I realize diabetes is something that's so rampant in our culture. And part of the reason for that is we don't really have time to make meals. So we just go out and get something. Well, most of the pre-made food you get out there has sugar in it. And sugar is not a good thing because you overwhelm the body with too much sugar. And the body doesn't know how to act. It runs out of insulin, and diabetes is rampant. And you see the results of long-term diabetes in all the people around you. You see people who have neuropathy in their legs, in their feet. It starts out in the toes. They have to, you know, get their feet cut off because things get so bad. Now, this isn't everybody, but the people who don't take care of themselves. And unfortunately, that's a lot of us because we don't think we need to. We don't think it's relevant, but it is. It's oh so relevant. And I believe that just with a little effort, we can all stave off diabetes. Just focus on making your own food. Doesn't have to be long, drawn out, elaborate meals. Just make simple meals. But if you make them yourself, you won't put a bunch of sugar and flour, because white flour is just as bad as white sugar. They say white things aren't good for you. Well, there's some other white things around here, and we want to stay away from them, but if you don't eat sugar and don't eat flour, you're way above the game. Now, I'm not saying that's easy, because that's not easy. You have to have satisfying food. That's why I keep nuts around. That's my go-to when I get hungry or I just feel like chomping on something. Nuts and vegetables are a great thing. And anyone can eat nuts or vegetables because they're so easy to come by, whether you cook or not. Some people like to cook. Some people don't. But if you make your own stews and soups, in this kind of weather especially, you'll be a lot better off in the long run. Now that's in terms of eating right. Well, the soil is not as good as it used to be because we used it for hundreds and thousands of years. So the soil started out great, but it's become a little less than great. So it's necessary, I believe, to supplement what you eat with vitamins, especially vitamin C, because vitamin C is a miracle vitamin. It can keep you healthy. It can keep you focused. It can keep you alive. And it's also great for your skin and your hair and your fingernails. I just cracked one of my fingernails earlier today. I cut it with something. And, well, I'm going to be doubling up on my vitamin C tonight because I know that vitamin C helps fingernail and hair grow longer, grow faster, and grow longer. Now, for men who don't grow hair, it's not going to grow faster and longer if you don't grow it anywhere. But if you do grow it, it's going to grow easier with vitamin C. I guarantee you. And also, I said I'd talk about vitamin C, also vitamin D. Medical research is realizing every day how important that is. And vitamin D helps you do everything. It helps you with your energy. It helps you with your immunity. It helps you with your sheer activity levels. And if you get vitamin D, whether from a pill or from the sun, it can help your body work a lot better. It can help things, processes in your body happen easier and without as much trouble. And we can certainly all use that, having our bodies run more smoothly, more easily. And while I'm talking about nutrition here, remember to drink your water. That doesn't count coffee. That doesn't count soda. We are talking water. So drink your water because you're supposed to drink about half your body weight in ounces of water each day. Do you drink that much water? I don't know if I do. Sometimes I'm better at it than others. But things in your body work if you drink water. Sure, you have to go to the bathroom, and sometimes it might not be convenient. But your body is mostly water. So replacing some of that water can only help. I'm a chiropractor. And one of my patients was asking me, he took my advice, drink more water. He was drinking water. And he said, I feel like I've grown a few inches. Well, that's because the disc in the spine are water. There's a lot of water in them. There's a lot of water in those spaces. So your pain will be less as well as moving better. And if you drink a lot of water, then you realize that you might not want to eat all the junk food that you have around. Because a lot of us eat that junk food because we're actually thirsty. But the brain has hundreds of millions of processes going on, and it's just getting a signal. It has no idea what that signal really means at its deepest levels. Well, that signal usually means that you're thirsty. We interpret it as, oh, I'm hungry. So we eat more cookies and cakes and candy. No, we need to be drinking more water. If you drink more water, you won't necessarily feel the need to eat all that garbage you have around. I say garbage. It's food you bought, food that's around, but it's not the best thing in the world for you. Because you realize that what you put in your body is what makes your body. When people look at you, they don't see French fries and bread and pasta. They see a body. But that's what it's made out of. It's made of the things we put in it. That's why some people seem to have a natural glow. And others don't have that natural glow. Well, part of that is what we put in it. What we think, how we think, what we're thinking about. If we're angry at somebody, that's also important for keeping our health going in the winter. Don't waste time on useless emotions like jealousy, because jealousy has never helped anybody. And it's just a waste of your time to really be jealous of somebody. You have so much going for you. Why would you waste your time thinking about how someone else has specific thing A or specific thing B and you don't? Because concentrating on useful things can make all the difference in the world. Concentrating on useful things can make you glow in and of itself. And you want to keep that glow going because you want other people to look at you and say, man, she's doing something right. Or he's doing something right. Because if you're enjoying yourself and you're clearly having fun, you'll glow. If you eat right, you'll glow. If you take your vitamins. And one of the other things I was talking about, sleep. Now, as I said in my introduction, I really can't sleep very well. But that's common with those of us who've had head injuries. And basically, I understand that I really can't sleep well. I tried going to bed earlier at night. Well, if I go to bed earlier at night, that just means I wake up earlier in the morning. And I don't like sitting around in the dark. In the summer, it's okay to get up early. But in the wintertime, that's not really that great. I much prefer to snuggle up my nice warm bed and sleep. And okay, some people need to take medication to do that. I've started recently taking melatonin. That helps me sleep for 5 or 6 hours a night. I used to sleep 3 or 4. So melatonin doesn't help me get to sleep, but it helps me keep asleep. sure, I have to get up to go to the bathroom, but I can go back to sleep. And that's the good thing about it. Being able to go back to sleep. Because sleeping well is so important to our health. And it's just amazing how some people seem to be able to sleep through anything. I can't, but I figure, okay, that's my head injury. Because according to my mother, I used to sleep really well as a child, long before I had my head injury. Okay, that's nice to know, but now, well, I still sleep 5 or 6 hours a night because of my melatonin. And I seem to be rested enough when I wake up. So that is a good thing in itself. So sleeping is important. Nutrition is important. What else is important? Exercise is important. And you say, oh, but I don't feel like moving. You know, once you start moving and get those endorphins going, it doesn't seem so bad anymore. I mean, I try to follow an exercise program, you know, on YouTube, and just every day I do a 20 to 30 minute exercise. Some days cardio, some days weights, and I know it's keeping me going. And people say, you look great when they see me. Well, that's because I'm taking care of myself. And part of taking care of yourself is eating the right things, moving the right way, and being concerned about your health and about other people. Part of my exercise program concerns balance work. Because like most of us with head injuries know, balance can be, and is always, a real problem. My balance has gotten a lot better since I've been consistently working out at the gym before COVID came around. Now I just do it in front of my computer, as I was saying. But I do balance work every day, a little bit. Not too much, or I get sick of it and hate it. But just doing a little bit every day. Because the older one gets, the more important it is to balance properly. And the less balance seems to come naturally. I mean, I love to practice my balance, and I do it 5 or 6 times, and I fail each time standing on one foot. Then all of a sudden, I can do it. And I get so excited. It makes me want to do it again. So keeping yourself going with balance work is a very good thing to focus on. Because it's something we all use all the time. Just walking forces us to use balance. Standing on one foot, standing on the other foot. I've probably told this story before on occasion, but after my head injury accident back in 1985, I went to a chiropractor, the first time I'd ever been to a chiropractor. He took one look at me and just had me crawling back and forth across the floor. Well, that helped me so much, I became a chiropractor. I'd never been to a chiropractor before. But after I visited him, I started doing balance work. after I went to him and went to chiropractic school after I'd gone to him because I'd gone to him, and realizing how important balance was to the human being, to the whole structure. So if you don't think you have very good balance, keep practicing. Because practice eventually, not necessarily make perfect, but it can help you toward perfection. Everything is on a sliding scale. And there are many ways to practice balance work. Standing on one foot. Standing on one foot with your eyes closed. Standing on one foot with your eyes closed on a board that's not completely on the ground, a balance board, a board with a wheel in the center, and there's board all around it. And each time you try it, after a period of time, make it a little harder on yourself. Your body will appreciate it. And as well as exercising yourself, which includes balance work, at least in my exercise program it does, and a lot of people's actually, there's always meditation. You say, meditation? Well, the original definition of meditation was quieting the spontaneous noises in your head. And we all can deal with that because we all have the voice in our head telling us we're not doing it right. We're doing this wrong. We're doing that wrong. Or we have a while to go. We'll never get it right. You don't have to listen to that voice. Sure, that voice is there, but you learn how to not listen to it. And that is key. That is the key thing. If you stop listening to it and keep telling it, no, you're wrong, and argue with it, well, then you're just telling yourself, no, I don't believe that. I believe this. And if you don't believe what that negative voice is telling you, eventually it'll go somewhere else. And that's why we learn meditation. You only have to meditate for 5 minutes a day when you start out. You might want to increase your time after a few weeks, a few months, to 10 minutes a day, because that quiet time relaxes your mind. And we can all use the relaxation in our minds, because our minds are overworking. They're thinking too much. And we don't need to be thinking negative things too much. We want to be thinking about our health. We want to be thinking about what makes us happy. Because if you think enough about what makes you happy, as I said, the mind doesn't know when something is true and when it's not true. So if you keep telling yourself, I am happy, whether you are or not, the mind will start to believe it. And once the mind starts to believe that you're happy, you become happy. just like the process of smiling. I know I've said this before, but I can't say it enough times. The very act of smiling brings more blood to your brain. Raising the corners of your mouth changes the blood flow to your brain. So if you smile enough, you can't help becoming happy. Whether you are actually happy or not, the brain thinks you're happy. The body thinks you're happy. And with all that going on, you eventually become happy. It just works that way. The human body is a marvelous instrument if we know how to use it properly. And we all have to learn how to use it properly. It's not something we're born knowing. But learning to use the brain, learning to use the body is what we're here to do. I can't think of any other reason for us to be here. I mean, maybe there is one, but I like to think it's to do things right. And since I'm a healer, I want to help other people. And the very act of helping other people helps you. You can't help it. Because by focusing on what other people want, what you can do for them, you're thinking about, what can I do to help? And the very act of doing that, if you do it long enough, it becomes a part of you. That's why people get a lot out of volunteering for humanitarian groups, for different political groups. People each help in their own ways, and we all have different ways of helping. I mean, I am a doctor. I am a healer. Other people are other things. Some people are good at one thing. Some people are good at another. But we're all good at something. And if we focus on that particular thing and use it to help other people, that's the best thing that we can be doing. I mean, sure, you're not always completely successful, but let's face it, some things work out better than other things. That's just the way it works. But if you keep trying to do things, keep trying to help other people, keep trying to smile and make other people happy, you might succeed at some particular time, in some particular way. I very much like something I read in one of my books, that everyone is an angel to someone in their lifetime. You never know how or to whom or to how many people, but everyone gets a chance to be an angel to someone, somehow. People you don't think, oh, that person's no good. That person helped or will help another person at some point. We all work like that. That's human beings. So just think. Get out there and help people. And you can help people just by working on yourself. Because they say you can't change other people. You can only change yourself. But if you change yourself, you might inspire someone else to change. And that is the best thing you can do. Inspire someone else to change. Because by inspiring someone else to change, that person then has the power to inspire a third person to change. And that's the way we go round and round and round. And everyone eventually helps each other. You weren't the first and you won't be the last. But your input is needed for the whole. We all have to do our part. Whatever our part may be, some people may know their part, some people may not know their part. And the point is that actually helping someone else helps you in the long run. Because by the very act of helping another person, you help yourself. You feel it. You can't help knowing that you did good. And that makes you happy. And by being happy, you can then focus on health and healing. And it all goes in one big circle. We have to realize that there is continuity in things. A thing doesn't happen in isolation. A thing happens because another thing happens. You go here because someone told you, you should try that. You think, yeah, maybe I'll just check it out. And then you might be in the right place in the right time. They talk about circumstances happening. They talk about miracles happening. Well, is a miracle something great that happens? Or is it an ordinary thing happening to one specific person in one specific place that makes that person realize there is a reason for this? And that is what's so important. And that's what we can all do. And that's what we all are doing every minute of every day. And that's why your thoughts are so important. One of the things I learned early on in chiropractic school was that our body gets out of whack by three things, three causes. Number one is physical. A rock crushes our foot. We get in a fist fight with somebody. We're in a car accident. We fall while doing some activity, playing football or skiing. That's physical trauma. There's also chemical trauma. That's what happens when you eat food that doesn't agree with you. Or you eat food that just isn't your cup of tea. It's not the right thing that you should be eating right now. And because of these insults, the body can react. We all have different bodies that act differently. Sometimes we take medication My husband and I, for example, we take the same medication. If something were to happen, we tried that once or twice. For me, it works beautifully. I say, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. It helped me so much. On the other hand, he takes it, doesn't feel a thing. Some people have different bodies than other people. Most of us have different bodies than other people. There are a few of us who don't, but the majority of us do. And everything affects us differently. Whereas the medications, aspirin works so well for me. Probably because I haven't taken too much in my life. My husband, well, he's a redhead. And redheaded people have a little bit of different genetic makeup. You can look that up. It's like, it was shocking to find out, but they think there's some Neanderthal blood. There's some Viking blood. And they're just, some of their chemistry is a little bit different. I mean, Kaiser Hospital down the road from us knows that when my husband or anybody comes in and says, I'm a redhead or I used to have red hair, they automatically give them 3 times the dose of medication to do surgery for anything. My husband needed some hip surgery earlier in the year because when he was 10 years old, he destroyed his hip. He'd been getting surgery on it every couple times since then. And they had to do some surgery, and they gave him 3 times the amount of medication because nothing else was working. They kept giving him more and more. And they finally asked him, and he said, yeah, he was a redhead. I mean, it's all gray now, so they didn't know. But he said, yeah, I used to be a redhead. So they knew that, yeah, you have to give him more medication to make it work. Well, when you get enough, it works. When you get enough of anything, it works. But we all have physical differences which affect the way we react to foods and medication and whatever else we put in our body. And that just has to do with the differences. It's what makes us human. What makes us unique human beings. We're all different. And because we're all different, everything about us is different. We like different things. We like different people. We do different activities. We're all different. So there's chemical trauma. When your body reacts badly to something you put in it. There's physical trauma when you have some kind of an accident. And there is psychological trauma. I learned this way back in chiropractic school, the 3 types of trauma. Most people don't think about the psychological trauma, but that can be very important. People don't realize how relevant stress is to our lives. And stress affects us all differently and affects us badly. The body has negative reactions to stress. Some people's negative reactions are more severe than other people's negative reactions. But stress is not good for anybody. The body doesn't like to be under stress. The body doesn't like being anxious and being flooded with cortisol and all sorts of nasty chemicals. That can have a major effect on the way we think, the way we act, and the way we are. So these three types of traumas are highly relevant. And all three are equally important. Some might be more important to some. For example, I'm a chiropractor. Obviously, the physical body is pretty important to me and my work. Some people are psychologists. The mental atmosphere is a lot more important to them. The emotions, the stress. Some people are medical doctors. The chemical interactions are important to them. We have three types of traumas that come into the body, three types of traumas that we must deal with. So I'm sitting here talking about the types of traumas. Well, to me, in my dealing with the winter blahs post on Facebook here, I think it's pretty important that the psychological trauma is right up there. The psychological trauma of the dark days. I mean, it's only fall and the sunlight has already gone down like 50%. I mean, I shouldn't really complain. I mean, my grandkids and, you know, children live in Alaska. They live way up in Fairbanks near the Arctic Circle. So they lose an hour a day of sunlight. They don't see much at all. They don't have any way of dealing with the sun, with the shade, the lack of sun. So some of them have special lights that they live with, and that's the way we fake our bodies, because our bodies need some kind of light. Our bodies do better in light. I try to sit outside every day. Sometimes I can't sit too long because of the cold. My husband, he's a redhead. During the summertime, he can only spend about 5 minutes out in the sun because he'll burn to a crisp if he doesn't. So we all have different ways of dealing with it, but we need sunlight. If we don't get sunlight, or we don't have the sunlight simulating bulbs in our house, then we have to take vitamin D pills. Because vitamin D is a wonderful substitute for sunlight, which creates vitamin D in the body. That's one of the reasons it's so helpful, because it mimics sunlight. And yeah, like my husband, some people don't react well to the sun. But as little as you need, as little as you can manage for yourself, some is important. Doesn't have to be a lot. Some is important. So remember that, to keep your mood up. Because I don't know about you, but I need my sunlight. I'm one of those people, when it's rainy or cold, I'm just stuck in the house, I feel really tired and negative and angry. Just a walk outside for about half an hour makes me feel completely better. just getting that little bit of sun in my system. Even if it is rainy or whatever, just being outside, I feel better. And if I can do it, you can do it, right? I'm certainly not the only one. So we can all make the most of what we have. But as I said in my introduction, I just said in my talk, the brain doesn't know the difference between what is true and what is simply a hope. So sometimes if you just convince your brain that you are well, you are focused, you are doing the right thing, body will become happier. So I think that dealing with the winter blues, one of the ways to deal with the winter blues is just fake your brain. Fake things and your brain won't realize. Your brain will think, oh, things are better. And believe it or not, that works. I mean, I had a hard time believing that because I was, no, I want to be logical about this. But the brain honestly does not know. So if we fake our brains, we can actually convince ourselves that we're okay and that everything's okay. And that's part of the way that we deal with the cold, nasty weather. I mean, I should tell you, before I got on the radio tonight, I was talking to the head of the station, Kim, and she was telling me, you're talking about the winter blues? Come on. You live in California. What winter blues are you talking about? I mean, she's in Nebraska where it's in the 20s and teens every night. I mean, I grew up on the east, the northeast. I know about that. But, you know, you get used to whatever environment you're in. And I am in California, so we're used to a certain lifestyle out here. The people who built our houses didn't really think of insulating your house like they do back east. So the houses are more drafty. I mean, you know, people might have fix them up and done some of their own work to make it more airtight and make it more insulated and trying to make it more weather resistant, but we get used to whatever weather's around us. And the houses out here are not the same as the houses back east because the climate is not the same as the houses back east. So I believe that you can get used to anything. And I feel the winter blues coming on out here in California. No matter what some people say, yeah, because we have winter wherever we are. And we're going to have cold, nasty weather because it all can't be good. Because if it's all good all the time, we won't realize that it's good. If it's just normal, so you have to have bad so you can realize that what you have is good. And we should focus more on that. And I'm going to do that after I play a song here. I'm going to play the song Soccer Match 2 by Nicholas Tatan. He's a head injury supporter, and I appreciate his work. So I'm going to play this song and take a little break. I'll be back in a couple minutes. That was Soccer Match 2. Now here is Soccer Match 1. Also, tapping your feet along to that kind of that music, or I know I did anyway, and so I'm much more animated now, and winter blahs aren't so blahy now, that's the word, and that is little things we can do to make life seem better. Little things, just very, very little. Now that didn't take much effort at all to play those songs. But it made me cheerful, made me smile. And making you smile is good for you. The body likes to smile. So let's talk about some things about healing and how we heal ourselves and heal the world, mostly heal ourselves, because we heal the world by healing ourselves. And I mentioned meditation before and how you start out real small, just do it a couple minutes a day. Well, there's some nice apps on your computer that help you with it, because not everyone can get the right mood, get the right sayings, and the right mindset themselves. So you do it with other people, or you do it online. And sure, nobody is perfect at first. And as you're meditating, you think, this isn't working for me. This isn't working for me. Then all of a sudden, it is working. But only for a couple seconds. And, oh, this isn't working. This isn't working. Oh, it just did work. And every little bit helps. I know sometimes when I have trouble sleeping, sometimes I can just rest. And resting is very good. Maybe not as good as sleeping, but a steady, sure, solid rest is very helpful. That's what I do in the afternoons. Sometimes I just spend like 15, 20 minutes quiet, alone, resting, and it always helps me feel better. And that is also a form of meditation, calming the mind. Because the mind gets overworked too, just like the body does. And it has to be relaxed through sleep or through rest. That's why people who are deprived of sleep can sometimes go nuts, can sometimes go crazy or go violent, because the body needs that rest. The body needs time to heal. And at night, we go through our organ systems. I mean, there's charts, you know, for this 2 hours, you're healing that, and that 2 hours, you're healing that, et cetera, et cetera. The important thing is the people who work late at night, who work the night shift, they are more prone to developing diabetes. Some people say, oh, I'm just a late at night person. Well, maybe you are, but those people are more prone to all sorts of sickness, all sorts of bad health and health issues, because the body needs some time to rest and relax. So by resting and relaxing, we heal ourselves. And by healing ourselves, we heal all the people around us, and all the people once removed, and all the people twice removed, and eventually healing the world. The Jews have a wonderful expression, tikkun olam, healing the world. And if the world is healed, that means everybody in the world will be healed. And if everyone in the world will be healed, then we don't need to be struggling and fighting and arguing and causing all sorts of damage and destruction. Because there's no need for that. So first, we have to heal ourselves. In order to do anything, you have to do it yourself. Once you've done it yourself, then you can worry about doing it for other people. But doing it yourself helps you, helps the world, and helps the healing of everybody in it. So we heal ourselves so we are balanced. I said we should all work on our balance Well, there's physical balance and there's mental balance, emotional balance. As well as practicing your physical balance, it's just as important to practice your mental balance. Practicing your mental balance can help you deal with all the garbage that comes your way. And the easier time you have dealing with that, the easier time you'll have getting through and going on to the next thing. Because like I said, the winter's only here for a short time. It will be spring and summer and fall again. And we have to have winter so we appreciate that. But you can't let it get you down. Especially those of us who've had head injuries, so it's pretty easy for things to get us down anyway. And there's no need to let yourself be the victim of circumstance. You have to make your circumstances. And if you can make things better for yourself, then the world is a better place because of it. We are each important in that we each affect the world. And by affecting the world, we help heal the world. And by healing the world, we can make everything better. And that's how we escape the winter blues. Yeah, there are times when things just don't seem to be as good as they can be. They don't seem to be as good as they are at other times. Well, they're not, but there's ups and downs to everything. And if you keep going, you have to hit the next up before you know it. So I think it's pretty important to realize that things will get better. And by getting better, we help heal ourselves. And we can heal ourselves and heal the world and heal other people. And we're all doing that in our own way, in our own style, in our own time. And that's why it's important to realize that. And that's a little bit talking about the mental, how we heal ourselves mentally. And again, I'm going to take a little break, this time with Nicholas. No, I played Nicholas a ton earlier. I'm going to play something by Purple Planet. I'm going to play something by Purple Planet. I'm going to play Languidity, another head injury song. Well, that was very nice. Kind of calm and peaceful. Like I'm becoming, because it's late at night. Well, not late at night. It's still kind of early, but it's all dark and cold. And as far as I'm concerned, it's late at night. But the sun will be out tomorrow. Just like everything. For a short time it's here, and then it's time for something else. So remember the things I told you about tonight. To deal with the winter blues, we can do a lot of different things. We can make sure to sleep. Sleep for, they say, 6 to 8 hours a night is what you should be sleeping. Well, some of us need more, some of us need less. But that is the goal. And you should make certain that you can get that. Go to bed early enough so that you can wake up and function right. Then there's exercise. I know that I can't sleep very well if I haven't bothered to exercise one day. Because I do a lot of work sitting here in front of the computer. So getting up and moving around is very important. And I try to exercise each day. Most days, I can manage to fit it in. But just getting up and walking around the room can help, too. Have you ever noticed when you feel really tired, just getting up and moving around the room can help a lot. And that exercise, as I said, walking includes balance work. If you've had any kind of head injury, remember, do your balance work. It's crucial that we're able to stay balanced. We're able to stay as balanced as we can at any given time. And practice helps. Remember that. Practice will help. And meditation, kind of in the same category as sleep, except you do meditation for a little bit during the day. And it's a very good thing to do because it helps you calm down and not rush so much. You realize there's no need to rush through everything. It'll still be there. It'll still be there long after I'm done doing this other thing. So just calm down. And last of all, nutrition. Eat right. Take your vitamins. Take some B vitamins for general health. Everyone should take some kind of B complex, a multivitamin. I recommend a lot of vitamin C too. I take many times what's naturally required. And I'm pretty darn healthy too. And maybe there's some connection. So the only way to find out is to do it yourself. Take a lot of vitamin C. I take it in the powdered form. So I take about 500 times the normal dosage and just put it in a spoon in my cup and pour it in some boiling water and add some dolomite, magnesium, calcium, crystals and stir the whole thing up and drink it down when it gets warm. And that's the way I take my vitamin C. It's dissolved, it's mixed, and it works. It's very good. It's one of my patients put it who tried that. It's extremely good for your skin. She said it helps her so much. She couldn't believe it. So exercise, vitamins, eating right. Try to avoid the white things. Try to eat food that's in season. In this winter season, it's root vegetables and broccoli and cauliflower and things like that, and cabbage and kale. Things like that are very good for you. They help give you that, as I was talking about, that glow in your cheeks. So just a couple things to work on, but you don't have to deal with those winter blahs, which some of us have, and some years seem worse than other years. So keep physically balanced, keep chemically balanced, and keep mentally balanced. And that way you can help but succeed. I'm going to sign off right now, unless someone wants to ask me a question, if anyone's on right now. You can call in at 424-243-9540 and raise your hand. Press 1 to raise your hand. I see somebody did that. So I'm going to take this call. We're turning your mic on. Person calls in the 732 area. Okay?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Hello there. What's up?
Not much. I have a quick question. One of the things I've been used to, I'm a working guy, like I do boilers, so I'm usually up at like 5:30 in the morning, especially during the winters are my longest hours. I get up,
yeah.
I usually leave the house at 5:30 and I'm not home until like 7, 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I always started my morning with coffee. That was the way I always did it. I thought it gave me energy. It really, really doesn't. It just kind of warms you up a little bit. And I'm wondering what a good morning, like a good morning, not ritual, but what kind of juice or what's better for that time of the morning, especially during the cold months?
Okay, during the cold months, a warm drink, there's nothing better. But tea might be better than coffee.
Yeah, but it's all synthetic. I was wondering if there's something like,
tea. I mean, you can, go out and pick some, lemon leaves or whatever, get some yourself. I mean, you can find herbs and get a mixture that way. Drinking warm water is also very good.
Yeah, it's kind of disgusting, really. I mean,
well, mix some cinnamon in with it.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll go with the tea thing, but we're not going to agree on the warm water thing. But then also one thing that I noticed is I'm a guy who doesn't take sweets. I've never gone in for sweets in my life.
Good.
Like even since I was a child, I like salty, like olives, pickles, things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
But now because of the coffee, it just goes so well with it that I end up getting like a coffee roll or a bear claw or a donut or something. I know that's the worst thing for you. So
yeah.
I'm trying to think of what is a good morning. I'm not going to go as far as to say the word treat, but what's a good morning little snack? Because I don't like to eat a heavy breakfast because I have a rough job. And if I eat a big old breakfast sandwich, I won't be able to get anything done.
I understand. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Well, a great pick-me-up believe it or not, is apples.
Okay, I enjoy an apple.
Yeah, an apple in the morning, they say, is one of the best things you can eat.
Well, one of the hobbies I tried to have. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess we're having a connection difficulty. But one of the things that I did right when COVID started, when I was still working full time before, you know, now I'm back to full time. But
mm-hmm.
what I would do in the morning, I would slice up an apple. I got one of those stupid things where you just slam it down and it cuts the core out and just slam
oh,
it
yeah?
and you put it in a Tupperware and you go and you walk away.
Okay.
But then what I would also do is I would save a couple of, you know, I would cut, you know, take half of those for one day, half for the next day. And I would throw like little blocks of like sharp cheddar cheese and maybe a couple of pecans. I always thought that was good.
Wait,
but somebody told me I shouldn't eat that much cheese.
You shouldn't eat that much what?
Cheese.
Cheese. Well, cheese is very bad for some people. For other people, it's not a problem. I mean, how do you feel after you've eaten some cheese?
Well, if I have, you know, a couple apple slices, couple little cubes of cheese and some pecans with some walnuts, I feel great.
Okay. That is your indication right there.
Well, okay. Well, my main concern, I know that was a that was
I mean,
a good,
yeah,
a good
I mean,
way
like,
to start the day. My main
I can't handle cheese at all. I mean, my body just does not deal with cow's milk. But,
oh, no.
You know.
Yeah, no, I can eat a whole block of cheese.
If cheese doesn't bother you, I mean, and you're eating the pecans and apples with it, that sounds like a great healthy snack to me.
Yeah, I think it's a decent replacement for breakfast, you know, because all my friends,
yeah.
you know, I'm from New Jersey, so I don't know if you know the New Jersey area, but
oh,
everybody
yeah.
around here, they for breakfast, they eat a Taylor ham, bacon, egg, and cheese, giant sandwich. And then I don't even know how they even start the day. Like everybody seems like so sluggish and so nasty, and I'm fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, it's important to look at other people and see what's around you and know that you're doing the right thing. It sounds like, yeah, but cheese, nuts, and an apple is a great combination. Or you can try something with some oatmeal in it.
Yeah, I try with the oatmeal thing, but it seems like you have to kind of do it yourself, and I really don't have that much time in the morning, and I'm not, you know, I'm not very culinarily inclined. Because if you just buy the regular Quaker Oats stuff, that oatmeal is terrible for you. It's 90% sugar.
Oh, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, well, I just order rolled oats off of Amazon, mix them with wheat bran also off of Amazon, a couple other ingredients to make my own thing. I just pour hot water in it every morning, so I make it up a week in advance. And my husband
yeah,
and I eat it every
yeah,
morning.
You know what,
you know?
Yeah, you know what? I think your best advice to me was I should get on a dating site and say that don't talk to me unless you like rolled oats. And then find a woman that'll make me rolled oats in the morning.
You can try.
I think
that.
That's the best bet.
Hey, let me know if it works.
Well, yeah, because I'm trying to. I don't like tea. I'm trying to quit the coffee because it's not. I mean, it's good for you if you drink it black, but of course, I'm not a black coffee drinker, so I throw a little hazelnut in there, a little sugar. And that's just bad for you, especially in the morning. It kind of dries you out
great.
A bit. Yeah, so I'm trying to now, because I don't enjoy tea as much, I was thinking that maybe chai tea was a good option, but
yeah,
people are telling
I
me that that's not good for you either.
It's not.
Oh, you recommend it?
I love this stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
I was told that it was not good for you.
Who said that?
A couple people. I've listened to a couple podcasts, read some articles on it saying that chai tea, because of the, I don't know what it is. I forget what it is. They said that kind of like, it almost like creates more sugar in your body than if you just poured sugar in a coffee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the glucose kind of thing. But
I'm not really sure.
That's why I called you, because you're the pro.
Well, that's not something I'd ever heard. I mean, I know my husband also, he's a pipe fitter, used to be before I became a chiropractor, but he loves black coffee.
Well, I mean, technically from pipe fitter to chiropractor, it's not that big of a difference.
Hey, you know,
you're kind of just lining everything up.
Yeah, he went for years. He was doing both, and he went to his job as a pipe fitter with a chiropractic table and would adjust all the guys at work. Oh, they loved it.
let me ask you a question. You being married to a chiropractor?
Yeah.
When he's not like communicating with you, have you ever said, "Stop worrying about cracking and start worrying about yakking. We need to talk."
Well, it's not that I've ever found him not talking to me. You know, neither of us have a problem in that area.
No, I'm just being ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, we met in school, in chiropractic school, actually.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. We were both up in the handicapped Roche. He can't hear and I can't see. So, you know, it works.
Wow. There you go. I can do 50% of one and 50% of the other. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. You make whatever you got work. No, but do you drink green tea at all?
I enjoy a green tea from time to time, but I couldn't imagine doing it every day.
Well, you don't have to do it every day. Just do it once or twice a week. You know, lay off the coffee 1 or 2 days and try some green tea. I love the stuff, frankly.
Yeah, but it doesn't go well with, like, you know, that's what I think my problem is because I got so used to drinking coffee every morning because my boss bought me coffee for like 8 years every morning. So you feel the need for sweets because coffee goes good with sweets.
Right.
So now when you drink a green tea, you can't have a chocolate donut or a Boston cream donut. You can't have it with a green tea because they don't go together.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So I guess I got to change it. I got to make sure that I change the snack. Yeah, I guess
you
I got to make sure I change the snack.
You have to decide what you want.
Well, I mean, I'm in halfway decent shape for, you know, for being in my 40s.
Okay.
You know, I drink coffee every morning. I have a which I hate the fact that I do that.
Because that just
started after the pandemic. But I mean, but I also drink about a 12 pack of beer a day. And I'm. And
it's
I'm
like
still somehow, and I'm
fitter,
still
yeah.
somehow not fat. Like I'm still, I don't know how, but I'm not fat. Like I still have a flat stomach.
You're still working all the time, running up and down ladders and doing your stuff.
No, most of the time I'm kind of just screwing off.
Well,
most of the time just sitting around collecting a paycheck.
Good for you. Good for you. No, but I want to tell you, just because of the active lifestyle, my husband could not gain a pound for most of his life. Well, now he's in his 70s, his late 70s, and all of a sudden he was eating some ham sandwiches, and he realized he put on a lot of weight, and he made me stop buying ham, so he stopped buying bread to eat it with. He's all of a sudden... When he was in his late 70s, he started putting on weight. So
your husband's in his
late
70s.
What?
Well, you sound like you're in your 30s.
No, I look like I'm in my 30s or 40s. I'm actually in my 60s.
Well, but you have a very youthful voice. I haven't seen you, but you have a very youthful voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's because I'm just, as I said in the podcast, I'm excited to be alive. It's so wonderful. You find out new, interesting stuff every day. But
absolutely.
I mean, I don't have to tell you. You know that you can't keep eating crap and expect it to be not for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing good in my 40s with it, but I mean, I was 100.
Like that.
I used to be an amateur fighter, and I fought at 175, 170 pounds. And every now and then I would fight at 185, and I would cut weight to that. But now I'm walking around at 205,
which is not
an unhealthy weight. No, it's not an unhealthy weight. 205 is actually very good for me because of my height. But the thing is, I don't want to know what it's going to be like when I'm 65.
Well,
I don't want to be a monster.
Everything changes. That's part of life. You got to keep active and you got to start eating better. Get that crap. You know it's crap out of your diet.
Oh, I know. I know it's horrible. Every time I'm at 7-Eleven and I pay for it, I tell the guy that he can go fuck himself. Pardon my French. I shouldn't curse. I swear a lot. Do you mind swearing on the show?
No. I was just reading an article how it's good for a person, and the intelligent people tend to swear a lot. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, if you don't mind me asking, I mean, you don't have to give any information because I know you said you understand about fried egg sandwiches. Are you guys East Coast or West Coast? Or middle of the country? Or
West Coast. We're in California. He was born in California.
Ew.
He's been around the country because his dad used to basically was starting a lot of welding unions all over the Southwest.
Oh, wow. That's my least favorite part of the country is the West Coast. I don't mind the desert.
Yeah.
I don't mind the New Mexico's, Nevada's. If you're going to go as far as California. But I would never go as far west as Bakersfield. That's as far as I'll ever go.
Oh, well, you up north. We live in Vallejo, and Vallejo's a lot nicer than Bakersfield.
Vallejo, what is it? That's California?
Yeah. We're in the San Francisco Bay Area. Right beside
Napa. Yeah, well, San Francisco can kiss my grits if you're going to, pardon
have
my
you
grits.
Ever been to San Francisco?
Oh, yes, I have. I've been every state in the continental U.S.
Wow. That's great. No, but Vallejo used to be a naval base.
Oh, okay.
Way back
all
when.
Right.
And, a lot of, maritime, there's a lot of maritime engineers around here, and it's just a whole different atmosphere than anywhere else in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I mean, the whole area is pretty much that was our protection during World War II, and
but it's
crunchy. It's very weird. I mean, I don't care what anybody does. I don't have any beliefs on. I have my. Of course, everybody has beliefs, but I don't care to fight for anybody's rights or against anybody's rights. But when San Francisco yesterday just said that they were going to start paying transgendered people a universal income that they don't have to work, they can just get money for being transgendered.
What?
I'm like, all right, well, San Francisco needs to fall off the map.
I didn't hear about that. I got to find out the real story behind that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it came out yesterday.
That
doesn't
sound very intelligent.
Yeah, if they're willing to do that, they're willing to pay people just to be transgendered, I'm going to tuck my penis back and get some fake tits, and I'm going to get me some money.
Yeah, I mean,
or I'm just going to start paying gangsters from Oakland. Or I'm just going to start paying gangsters from Oakland to go over there and take their money.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. There must be another part of the story. I mean, I didn't hear about that. I was kind of isolated from the news all day and kind of.
It was just voted in the city council. I pay attention to all kinds of weird, you know, people send me all kinds of weird stuff like that.
I see.
So I can care less. I don't like California, to be honest with you. I never cared for it. I traveled this country in an RV for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
Spent some of the best time of my life in the Pacific Northwest. Well, not the Pacific Northwest, but really Idaho. I spent a lot of time on Idaho.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love it up there. Probably the nicest human beings you'll ever meet in your entire life.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was born in central Pennsylvania.
Oh, there you go. Where, by around Harrisburg?
Yeah, by State College.
Oh, okay. All right, very nice. Yeah, I got a lot of friends out there. I got a whole thing of Scrapple in my fridge right now.
I see.
I'm not even kidding. I bought Scrapple because I went out to Mechanicsburg.
Oh.
I went out there to visit my buddy, so I bought a thing of Scrapple, and I'm gonna make me some Scrapple and egg sandwiches this week.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Scrapple is good. Everybody who doesn't understand and appreciate Scrapple is a moron.
Oh, yeah. They're missing out on some.
Yeah, I mean, it's horrible for you, so don't eat it every day, but anytime
once in
you get
while,
a good
anything's
Scrapple.
Okay.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, nothing in excess.
Right. All right. Oh, man. What a riot.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Well, I'm surprised the Central PA gals out there in California.
Well, you know, I joined the Peace Corps after college, and I came up through California to go to chiropractic school, and I just never left.
Yeah, that's tough, man. California will grab you. It's a beautiful place.
Oh yeah.
It's just not.
I know.
I just don't like the. I don't much appreciate the. Sorry to say, but the people, the politics, all that stuff—I don't need any of that. I come from hardworking men stock. We don't want to hear about you know, anything that's going on in California is really pretty much. it's either the ghetto or I'm forced to date a trans person, and I'm not doing either one.
I see.
I mean, I'm from the ghetto of New Jersey. I'm from the worst neighborhood in New Jersey.
Oh.
Well, second worst, actually.
Okay.
But I just don't care for California much. I mean, I like Bakersfield a bit. I was in Seaside out by San Jose. I kind of enjoyed that. Other than that, the Pacific Northwest and the whole entire Pacific Coast can, how do I put this politely? they can fly a kite.
Yeah. Oh, well. Oh, well. To each his own or her own, right?
Well, you know, there's one great thing coming out of California right now, your show.
Well, thank you.
So that's good. I enjoy listening.
Do it. What?
I said I enjoy listening to your show. I enjoy learning, and I'm glad that you took my call. To, you know, I think I'm going to try and concentrate more on tea and concentrate more on doing the, you know, the pecans and apples and
yeah,
I like my little cubes, my little
wonderful
cubes of cheddar cheese.
Yeah. I mean, I personally
nice
love feta. You know, feta cheese.
Feta is my second favorite cheese of all time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Well, goat cheese.
I think sheep cheese or goat cheese are a lot better than cow's milk cheese.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, yeah, goat cheese is through the roof. Feta is phenomenal. I enjoy blue cheese just for the flavor, but.
Yeah.
And it's good because it makes me feel like I'm getting a little bit of penicillin or something in there.
Well, so concentrate on those cheeses.
All right, so no more coffee, no more donuts.
Yeah,
tea,
just a green tea.
Apple slices.
And,
now, is there another fruit I can throw in there? Can I throw in a nectarine every now and then?
Let me see. Well, grapes are supposed to be really good for you.
What's that?
Grapes.
Oh yeah, I eat grapes like a crazy person.
They're really good
for
you.
I eat grapes the way an alcoholic football fan eats Doritos. I eat grapes.
Well, it's better than Doritos.
But they're very high in sugar. They're very high in sugar.
Well, you know.
I mean, it's a natural sugar, but.
Yeah, but it's a sugar. You don't eat too much of anything.
Yeah, anything in excess is an issue.
Right,
that's why I barely do any cocaine.
Good for you.
I do just enough to get by. That's it.
Whatever that is.
But now, what
right?
do you think? What do you think of plums? What do you think of plums?
I was just gonna say, pluots and plums and stuff during the summertime. That's great.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know.
And
if
I also enjoy pear.
I
also enjoy a pear, but it's hard to find a good pear nowadays.
Really.
Yeah, well, people don't really go for pears that much anymore.
My husband loves pears too. I mean, you know,
I think
whatever. But no, there's some places.
It's my sixth
like,
favorite fruit.
You know, like a farmer. If you have any local people, you know, or look on the net. Maybe there's some place near you that has real pears.
Yeah, well, that's the hard thing. I mean, luckily I have, you know, enough farms out by me where I can find pears.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, of course,
but everybody sells corn.
Oranges are good.
Yeah, but everybody concentrates out here on corn because, you know, that's what they're pretty much famous out here, the Jersey sweet corn.
Basically,
and I could care less about corn.
Good, because corn is used to make pigs grow fat. That's what corn's good for.
No, it's good. You know, every now and then you have a corn on the cob. I'd say once a year.
Yeah, that's fine.
Have a nice corn on the cob. But you got to slop it in butter. Your food in butter and salt to make it edible. That's not a good food.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'd rather replace cucumbers with a little bit of vinegar.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, but you ever had that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, we just have a bowl of vinegar, sliced cucumber up, soak it in the vinegar, pour a little
good
salt
stuff.
On it. Which we shouldn't eat too much salt, but salt. I mean, salt's not bad for you as long as you eat it.
Salt is not really a problem unless you're of African descent and you can't handle salt. Otherwise, salt's fine.
Yeah, but you just can't eat in excess.
No, you can't. You can't do anything in excess.
Well, you can't eat anything in excess, I don't think.
Yeah. And let's be serious.
The only thing that I imbibe and take in excess that I think harms me in no way is Budweiser's.
Please.
I drink about 18
of
those a day.
That's not good for you.
What's that?
I mean, a giggle a little bit doesn't hurt, but, you know, that's not the best drink in the world.
They got hops and barley and stuff in it. Hops and barley are natural, right?
Well, they say they do. I mean, how much real hops and how much real barley is in a regular Budweiser? I mean, like, my husband's father used to make his own beer. Now, that's probably even better.
I don't know. Every time I drink a Budweiser, I feel happier.
Okay.
I think that's because of the hops.
Instead of the donuts, then, but don't do too much.
Well, I'm going to give the credit to the hops and the barley. I think hops and barley make me very happy, and they also make me listen to they make me listen to music more.
Okay.
Hey, have a couple of Budweiser, throw on some Marshall Tucker Band.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm having one right now.
Okay, good for you. I'll just sit here drinking my my tea.
Oh, you're boring.
Oh, well.
Do yourself a favor. Get you a six-pack of Budweiser and a bottle
please.
Of bourbon.
No, because I've had a head injury, I cannot handle any alcohol.
Well, that's my thing. Is I've had a severe head injury a couple times in my life. So the reason why I enjoy Budweiser and bourbon is because it protects the head. No, I can give you scientific backing behind that. Anytime I'm drinking Budweiser and bourbon, I lower the risk of somebody punching me in the head, which could cause me severe permanent damage.
I get
so drunk that I punch them in the head first.
Yeah, exactly.
So now they can't hit me. So now they can't hit me because I already knocked them out.
I see. Well, I don't know what to say. No, I mean, yeah, having a head injury lowers your susceptibility big time to that kind of stuff.
I have 3 major skull fractures. I know exactly what you're going.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, I go to synagogue each week and drink a little... You know, kiddish a little.
Oh no, are you Jewish?
Yeah. Rosenfeld.
Oh my goodness, I would have never called the show because Kanye West told me that you guys are bad people. I'm only kidding. I love Jewish people. I'm a Christian, but I love Jewish people.
If I drink my little bit of wine at synagogue and I get totally high and happy.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
It's just wonderful.
I'll tell you the reasons why I love Jewish people so much is that, you know, I'm a Christian, but my old boss years ago was Jewish, Syrian Jew. And I ended up with like half of September off of work, paid.
which was
so great. He was like, you're not allowed to work. And I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, well, we're not allowed to do business on these days. And I'm like, well, I got to get paid. He was like, I'll pay you. So I sat home for half of September for like 5 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I was like, every time I talk to him, I go, Mazel tov, how you doing? Tell me my money.
Oh, that's a riot. Yeah.
I even used to make the joke where every time we would come back after like Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, we would walk back into the office and I would kiss the mezuzah. I would do it right in front of him. I would go, mwah, thank you for that 4 days off.
Oh yeah. good stuff, yeah. No, but my husband, he's not Jewish, but he you know, was very happy to marry someone who was Jewish because he has always hated Christmas.
He'd be the first person.
You know, so.
I'm only kidding.
Hey, you know. But he just
you know what
Christmas.
Well, Christians and Jews, we come from the same book.
Yeah, I know. We all do.
Yeah. Yeah, we just believe in, not the Buddhists. The Buddhists don't.
He's kind of a Buddhist. He's kind of gotten away from Christianity. He's more into Buddhism than anything.
Oh, no, don't. Tell him don't run away from Christianity. Jesus is a great man. He was a Jew. How could you not love him?
I know he was a Jew.
Jesus Christ, he was a Jew.
He was a Jew, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the king of, it says on the cross, Inri, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
It says it right on the cross.
Yeah, he was a great rabbi, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he was the first rabbi.
You know.
I was telling something. I don't know if you have time for it, but I was explaining to my coworker about the 160th rule.
What is?
In Judaism. Well, you know the 160th. You're Jewish.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You know the 160th rule, right?
Not offhand, but I know I've heard the phrase.
Yeah, it's Orthodox Jew. Like, those are the real, like, real hardcore Jews.
Yeah, I know. God help us. I grew up in an Orthodox synagogue.
Yeah, well, you know, you know what a goy is.
Yeah.
It's a derogatory term for anybody not Jewish.
Well, not derogatory. That is a term for
non-Jew. No, it's derogatory. They mean it. I know Jews.
Well,
they
depends
they
who you're talking about, and where they're from. But in Judaism, the word, it's in the Old Testament all the time when they're talking about non-Jews.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you know, well, that's the goyim.
Yeah.
But when a Jew says a goy, they mean it in a bad way.
Not always.
It's kind of, yeah. Yeah, they really do. I grew up with Jews. I know a lot of Jews. They mean it.
Okay,
they mean it pretty badly. But so the rule is, if a Jewish person has a bowl of kosher soup, and it says in the book, if a goy comes by and drops him in your soup, are you allowed to eat it? Well, the only way you can figure out if you're allowed to eat it, if a goy drops it, not if you drop it, not if you want to have it yourself, a goy has to drop it. The only way you can eat it is if the ham only takes up 1/60th of your soup.
What?
Yes, look it up.
Never heard this before.
Look it up. Well, you said you've heard about the 160th rule.
Yeah, but it's not quite like that.
Google it. But it actually says in not the scripture, but in the religious text that you know that they use in synagogues.
Yeah, the Talmud.
It says
yeah.
If a goy drops it, so that means you can drop it in your own soup, but you just got to say it was a goy that did it.
Well,
if a goy
drops ham
in your kosher soup. What's that?
Jews don't eat ham anyway.
Well, that's the way they can get past it, and they can eat ham. It has to be only 1/60th of the soup. But why would they write a goy came by and dropped it in your kosher soup? That's never happened. No Christian or Muslim or Buddhist
Shintoist
has ever walked by and just threw ham in somebody's soup.
That's probably a mistranslation you're reading. I mean,
It's 100%. It's not a mistranslation because it's a rule of only about a couple of years, like 100 years old.
I've never heard that. But anyway.
Well, look it up. I swear to you, look it up. It's so funny.
I will look it up, but who knows what I'll find.
Yeah, just look up the Jewish kosher soup 1/60th rule. /60. As long as the ham is no more than 1/60th of the soup, then a Jew can eat
kosher
it and it's still kosher.
1/60th. Okay.
Yeah, it's an Orthodox.
One sixty roll of kabod. Oh God, those kabod things are so crazy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But anything kabod says, I don't listen to.
If all Orthodox Jews follow that.
It doesn't talk about ham. It just says a small trace of a non-kosher substance, as little as 1/60th the food volume, will render an otherwise kosher food not kosher.
Yes. But if you look up the origin of the story, I mean, it'll take maybe some digging, but that's how they wrote it. But yes. So you don't have to be kosher as long as it's only 1/60th. But the story was, that's how they wrote it, was that if a goy poisons your food with pork or anything non-kosher.
It's only 100 years ago. I mean, there's people from Kabod. I mean, they'll say or do anything.
I know. I think it's a funny story. I think it's a great story. I think it's a funny situation.
And I'm trying to argue with you here. I don't need to be arguing with you
here. Oh, I'm not arguing at all. I just thought it was funny. I apologize. I don't want to. No.
Last thing
I want is an argument.
Oh, my God. It's amusing. Whatever. Yes. And that's the way, another way to deal with the winter crap. Just laugh.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly about that.
You know, laughter can make anything better.
Oh, laughter is the best Mexican. I mean, best medicine.
Well, good luck on your dating site finding a girl who likes oatmeal, okay?
I'm not doing that. I'm already in a relationship. I'm fine.
Oh, well then, better not tell the person you're having the relationship with that you're going to look for a girl who likes cooking oatmeal.
She's laughing right now. She's enjoying this whole thing. But while how about it? You enjoy yourself, and I want to thank you for, honest to God, but your show is very, very good, very informative, and I'm glad that we were able to talk about. You know, I really don't want to be a tea guy, and I'm glad that you verified that chai tea is a good way to go.
Oh yeah, and some, you know, I don't know, celestial season makes or something, but apple cinnamon tea, I find wonderful.
Yeah, I could do that every now and then.
Not your style.
Yeah, no, it's just too, you know, the cinnamon is a little much to do on a regular basis. The chives already got a little bit of spice in it, so maybe an apple cinnamon tea. Yeah, just switch it up a bit, but I'm trying to stay away from the coffee, and I'm trying to stay away from sweets.
Yeah, well, if you stay away from the coffee, you will stay away from the sweets, it sounds like.
Yeah, they seem to be a trigger.
Yeah.
All right, and also, I'll just, you know what, I'm just going to go read the Torah. The original Bible.
Yeah, I know. Do you read Hebrew and Assyrian?
What's that?
Do you read Hebrew and Assyrian? Because some of it's
no,
so
I only read in Yiddish. I only read in Yiddish.
You only read in Yiddish. Good luck.
Yeah, or as I call it, Jewish Ebonics.
Yeah. Although Ebonics should be, you know, Mexican Jewish.
I'm going to be, I cannot have another coffee because if I do, I'll be verklempt for the whole day.
Poor baby. Okay. Good night.
All right, you take care of yourself, sweetheart, and God bless you and your husband, and thank you for the show. It's pretty funny.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Goodbye. Okay, everyone. That's it for my show tonight. Interesting stuff. But anyway, so remember, eat right, sleep right, exercise, meditate, and as we just were talking about with my guest, laugh. Do those things and you should be fine. Good night, all.